This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We're going to have a lot of fun today. It is Friday, and this could be Joe Biden's worst week ever. I remember during the Obama years, the scandal-free Obama years, Jim Acosta, who's best known for his Dear Diary work from CNN, asked Barack, what do you say about your best, what some people are calling your best week ever? For some reason, that always stuck in my head, like certain cuts have never left me. And that question was so over the top and so slobbery that I just never forgot it. Do we have that cut? Let's play it.
I wanted to ask you about what some people are calling your best week ever. Last week, you had two Supreme Court decisions supportive of the Affordable Care Act and of gay rights. You also delivered a speech down in Charleston that was pretty warmly received. It seems that you've built up some political capital for the remaining months of your presidency. I'm curious how you want to use it. What hard things do you want to tackle at this point?
Kiss ass.
Gag me with a spoon.
Oh, it's so bad. And you can tell he's a little nervous, too. You know, he can't believe he's getting the chance to heap praise on his hero.
That should have been the poll question today. Are you sad that Jim Acosta is no longer part of the White House press pool?
Well, I'm sad he retired from the biz because this would have been a great time for him to pose a very similar question with just one word different. What would you say about what some people are calling your worst week ever? And then he could go on to cite, you know.
That's cute that you'd think he'd ask that.
No, I don't, Taylor. I also know he's not actually retired. He just isn't in the press room anymore because his favorite guy, Donald Trump, is in Palm Beach. So what he likes to do now, Jim Acosta likes to spend his time, you know, spying on Donald Trump from behind the bushes of a golf course. But that's not what I'm here to say. I'm here to say if he were to pose that question, your worst week ever, here are some of the things he could cite because he cited so many examples for Barack. Biden's 7% inflation. 33% approval rating for Joe Biden. I'm going to get into that a little bit later. Kristen Sinema, Democrat from Arizona, confirmed yesterday that she will not support abolishing the filibuster. And my favorite, the Supreme Court struck down the vaccine mandate. They're keeping it in for healthcare workers, but they struck it down for businesses, which is a huge blow to Joe Biden. And it's so bad. This all happened within 24 hours. And so last night I was writing. I'm sorry if I always mention when I'm writing, but it's always fresh in my mind. And I was talking to my editor and he said, you know, let's do a little piece on when is the mainstream media going to be forced to confront reality about this administration. And I felt like Howie Carr. I responded, oh, come on. You know that's never going to happen. Then I took a minute and I really thought about it. And it dawned on me that there is a situation, there is a scenario where CNN, MSNBC, Brian Stelter, you know, Jeffrey Toobin, who, by the way, this is probably a very crazy day for him with all his legal expertise dealing with the Supreme Court mandate. There is a situation where all of those people turn on Joe Biden. And it's a very specific situation. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm overly optimistic. But here's my prediction. Right now, Joe Biden is a lame duck. That was pretty much confirmed by Kristen Sinema yesterday.
Damn, Jeffrey Toobin.
Thank you for that. We never want to let a Toobin reference go unnoticed. Thank you to OJ, who's always contributing to this program. Yeah, so this is the situation, though. Everything's going really, really bad. Joe Biden's a lame duck. He's not going to get anything through. You know, Chuck Schumer has basically surrendered for the weekend, at least. He's letting the senators go home for the holiday weekend, and he's bringing the voting rights bill back for a showdown on the floor next week, a doomed showdown, as the Daily Mail put it. Biden's plans are in tatters, they say, which is true. And then I also just read you all of those other, you know, terrible numbers for Joe Biden. And on top of all of that, these media outlets, they're not doing well either. He's not good for ratings. He's not talking to anyone. He had a really incredible moment that we didn't play yesterday, and I regret it, when he finished up his teleprompter talk at the fake White House, and we still don't know what was on the screen behind him. We really have to do a daily check-in on that.
It was no screen behind him, just a blue wall.
Unacceptable. Why do we install those windows if we're not going to utilize them?
Joe Biden could not reserve a window seat
at his own fake White House. There's no justice. So he gives this speech and, you know, empty platitudes, doesn't mean anything. He says the same lie. It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. It's not. And when he's done, there's this awkward silence. He starts like rearranging his little notepad, which I'm sure says, you know, gives him bullet points of what to say or whatever. And the reporters do something that, you know, they're not really supposed to do. They start asking questions without permission from Joe Biden's handlers.
How dare you?
And things are so bad right now that not even Joe Biden is thinking, all right, maybe I'll give this a go. Like, I always talk about how sometimes he gets that little glimmer in his eye where he says, I'm Joe Biden. I could take these guys out behind the shed. You know what? Throw me a question. Let's go. He's past that point. He knows now. He has been told over and over again behind the scenes, do not dare. We are way in over our heads. You cannot answer any of these questions. You shut up and you wait for us to get them out of the room. And he's been told that because he does not even attempt anymore to say, let's tango, ask me a question. So he's waiting for the handlers to, you know, shoo people out of the room. I always say these are the women in the White House. I should have had this job. I got to check how much it pays, but I would be very good at it. Where you say this, Joe Biden finishes his speech. You're looking around. You see Peter Doocy.
May God bless and may God protect our troops.
Now, Peter Doocy starts talking and other reporters start chiming in. And this is what I do.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask you about
excuse
inflation.
Me.
Inflation is
excuse
really
me.
Going
thank
out of control
you.
Now.
People thank are, you. Thank you. Thank you. Taylor. Thank you. Sir.
We haven't had any press availability.
Sir. Bye-bye.
Catch you later, Joe.
Bye.
All right. Thanks.
And at that point, I have Taylor out the door. And I give him a little shove at the end just to show him who's boss. You don't come up in here and start asking the president questions. I want to play this moment, though, and it's better. I always say this, but it's better to watch. It's better to see it. So if you can find it on Twitter, we'll tweet it out from my account. If you can see it, the visual is better because he's staring ahead. And it's really sad. But Derek Hunter had a great point on Twitter. He's like, every time I get close to feeling bad for him, I remember that when he's lucid, he's such a jerk. And that keeps you kind of, all right, you know, you don't want to feel too bad for the guy, because when he's with it, he is calling everyone George Wallace. So you have to kind of take it, you know, as it comes. But listen to the sound cut of the handlers trying to shoo people out.
Mr. President, can I have a message for vaccinated Americans who are wondering why they should continue to restrict their activities, given that your health officials say most Americans will get COVID at some point?
Folks, we'll talk about that later. Come on.
Why should Americans trust your administration to treat COVID when the virus is clearly winning?
Mr. President, voting rights. Do you think the Republicans would go for voting rights?
The virus is clearly winning, so why should
Americans trust you? Thank you so much. Mr. President, do
you believe Omicron is the beginning of the end of this pandemic?
Thank you. Thank you so much,
President. How much longer do you think school people have to wear masks?
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you.
And at one point, he looked like he was going to do the old hand, the old head in the hands thing, which he's become famous for, where he just gives up at the desk.
It looks like he's praying over his meal.
Yeah, it really does. He looks so down and out. But the reason I bring this up is because the press is kind of getting fed up. And that makes sense. They are not getting any questions, answers. Their ratings suck. CNN lost like 90%, some absurd amount of their audience from year to year. And so I was thinking like, all right, so they've got to reach a point. There's got to be a breaking point. And then it dawned on me. Democrats in the media are liberal elite blue checks. They have no problem punching a Democrat or, you know, really attacking, going hard at a Democrat if they have permission from the Democrat Party. Now, follow what I'm saying. If the media thinks there's someone who can get them out of this mess, and it is a mess, they're looking at a huge defeat at the midterms. Joe Biden has ostracized a lot of senators, Democrat senators at this point. I think actually Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema will not be the only ones to not want to abolish the filibuster. I think there's a lot more who just don't want to say it. And they need a new person. They need a new hero. And if you look at their past when it comes to like Andrew Cuomo and Michael Avenatti, you might think, well, yeah, as long as they know they have a new person. Because Joe Biden, and I say this not to be too mean, but he was a Trojan horse, which was what Trump told us. Trump said he's a Trojan horse. They're just bringing him in to get the progressive policies in to get through the door. And he is that, but he's also a useful idiot. Now he's not that useful anymore. Now he's a lame duck. And I think that if they get word from whoever sends out the talking points, I don't know who it is, but if they get word that there's a new sheriff in town, and then all of a sudden we're going to start to see, oh, Joe doesn't seem very mentally fit. There's questions about his capabilities. They're
Biden's losing it.
They're going to turn on him. I'm telling you right now, because I think the problem with Dr. Jill and Joe is that they are mistaken if they believe that the media's sincere hatred for Trump equates to a sincere love for Joe Biden. Their loyalty does not lie with Joe Biden. Their loyalty lies with keeping Trump out of the White House and keeping Democrats in charge. And right now, Joe Biden doesn't seem like he could do either of those things. So that's my prediction. I'd be curious what you guys think about it. We have a lot to get to. We also have the Baltimore prosecutor, Marilyn Mosby, is in trouble. And there's a couple layers to this story, which I find amusing. We will get to that. We have great guests lined up today and tons of sound. So don't go anywhere. It's 844-500-4242. That is my prediction after Biden's worst week ever. I would love to hear yours. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Because you had a bad day, you take him one down, you sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know, you tell me don't lie, you work and a smile.
Definitely had a bad day. Some people might say week, some people might say month. Some people might say 40 years. And I love this eureka moment for so many people, including, you know, people like David Brooks, who are now saying, oh, you know, Joe Biden, really, he's gone too far left. You don't say! Wow, congrats on figuring that one out. You're a little late, but you don't say. It's obvious that Joe Biden is not equipped to handle these responsibilities, and there's really no faking it anymore. And yesterday was the worst day I had seen in quite some time for Joe Biden. We will get to all of that. Let's go to Doug. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Doug.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
I love your show. Just want to let you know that you're doing
Thank
a great
you.
Job.
Thank you.
I don't know if you noticed yesterday, but when Joe Biden was standing in front of the podium up front of Congress, when he got the word that Kristen Sinema is no longer going to support his radical agenda, did you notice that she walked out of Congress and saw him standing at the podium and did a quick about-face to ran back inside?
I did not notice that, but what I did read today was that Sinema and Manchin were asked to the White House last night, and they had a respectful exchange of views about voting rights with Joe Biden. I find it kind of hilarious that, you know, we have been using this expression all week, you get more flies with honey, and apparently Joe Biden never heard that expression because he really thought he was going to move the needle. And he did move the needle. You know, he did have an effect with that speech, with that tirade, with that rant. But I don't think it was the effect he wanted to have. Because by calling Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin and anyone who disagrees with abolishing the filibuster and passing these voting rights acts, which basically just federalize these elections and make it so, you know, mail-in voting happens for the rest of time, calling anyone who disagrees with that George Wallace and Bull Connor is not a way to make friends or influence people. It had the exact opposite effect, and he was shocked by it. And he's had a long list this week of failures, and it's stuff that's been happening for quite some time, including inflation. This isn't something that just happened this week. But there was a reporter in the press room who asked Jen Psaki, and the reason I love this cut, let me set this up a little bit. I love this cut because I always rack my brain with what I would ask if I were in the press room, or what I would tell Peter Ducey, the one horse pony soldier, to ask. And the truth is, I didn't realize how simple the question could be. You just have to list off everything that's going wrong and essentially ask Jen Psaki to react. Let's listen to this.
Things just seem like they're going pretty poorly right now for the White House. You know, Build Back Better is being blocked. Voting rights is being blocked. Diplomatic talks with Russia doesn't seem to have brought us back from the brink of war. Inflation's at a 40-year high. The virus is setting records for infection. So as we kind of hit this one-year period and a period where everything seems like it's in pretty rough shape, or nearly everything, which is not an invitation, I guess, to list off some other things. I'm wondering, at what point do you take stock and say that things need to change internally, whether it's your outreach for the Hill, whether it's the leadership within the White House? You seem to be stymied on an incredible number of fronts right now.
And of course, her answer is like, well, context matters. We see things through a different prism. That's her new favorite word, is prism. But I have to say, I thought of all of these, like, oh, you got to nail it. You got to say yes, no, answer this. You got to trick her. You got to do this. No, all you have to really say is, how do you think things are going? Are you happy about this? Does this feel like everything's going well for you, Jen? And then see what she says, because then you really highlight that these people in the White House are either completely insane or they're liars. I think they're Baghdad Bobs. I don't think there's anyone in the White House who truly believes things are going well, but they are dedicated. They are loyal. They're coming out here, and they're gonna polish this terrible president. They're gonna polish this up as best they can.
If you heard that line of questioning and you didn't hear Trump in the back of your head saying, "Do you miss me yet? Do you?
Who could have seen this coming? You wanted Joe Biden.
Joe is terrible."
But it really is. It's what Trump always says. How's that working out for you? You know, the guy who was supposed to unify us all is now dividing the country even further apart. And the worst part is gas prices are higher. At least with the mean tweets guy, we had nice low gas prices. 844-500-4242. We'll keep taking your calls on this, and we're going to talk about Marilyn Mosby coming up next.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And to help lead our federal testing program, I've tapped Dr. Tom, I hope I pronounced it, Inglesby, correct? Is that right, Jeff?
Is that right? I don't know. I'm not sure which one you decided to go with at the end, so I'm not sure if it's right. That was Joe Biden yesterday, according to my producer today, Taylor. Jared's on vacation. According to Taylor, Biden actually will be giving remarks today. And then next Wednesday, he'll be doing a solo press conference, which he hasn't done in over 70 days. So this is a pretty good sign that this administration knows they're in trouble. And you, if you want some other signs, I have a few. There's been a slight shift in the coverage. If you look real hard, you can maybe figure out what it is. David Brooks wrote a piece for the New York Times. Today is the day for Biden to begin revamping his presidency in a more centrist direction. There's no path forward for a leftish agenda. Now, David Brooks, for people who don't remember this, you know what, Taylor? Let's take a trip down memory lane, because I think David Brooks is a perfect example of someone who deserves it.
I thought I had forgot the past, and now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory.
David Brooks is the same David Brooks who, I believe, cried at Biden's inauguration. And the reason I believe this is because it's a fact and because we have the audio to back it up. Let's play.
Now, as I look at these faces, I must say I'm moved almost to tears by a lot of good people of different political views. But we have leaders who have not been able to be fully themselves. And they're good people. They're chatting. They're talking. They're wanting to run this country well. And this is opening day. And so now I find myself strangely moved and uplifted compared to where I was about hours ago.
Opening day. Like it's a baseball game.
And now he's shocked. He's shocked that none of this is working. And now he's telling us, you know, guys, it might be time to rethink some of this. Oh, wonderful. Thank you, David. Where was this expertise 2 years ago?
I'm so glad the adults are in charge.
The Avengers are back in the room. The best and the brightest. And David Brooks is not the only one. There was another hot take from Peggy Noonan, one of Howie's favorite writers. She wrote for the Wall Street Journal, Biden's Georgia speech is a breakpoint. He thought he was merely appealing to his base. He might have united the rest of the country. Uh-oh, Taylor, get the dun-dun-dun ready. He might have been uniting the rest of the country against him.
What a
Peggy,
twist.
Peggy, Peggy!
What a twist.
The Pegster. What are you thinking? Going against Biden like that. And also, here's another sign it's bad. This is another sign that everyone in the White House is going, good God, it's worse than we thought. The Daily Beast puts out this column. Joe Biden was supposed to be the anti-Trump, but he's just as divisive. Oh, no. And you know what Stephen Miller wrote back to them? He was on fire yesterday and today. He wrote back, gosh, if only we had a 40-year record to go off of. When you really think about all of the things that Joe Biden has said in the past that aren't very unifying, you know, they're not very kumbaya. They're a little bit, they're divisive. That's
racist.
All they are. They're racist. He's told people, if you don't vote for us, you know, you're going to be put back in chains.
And that's on this campaign where he's still showing some signs of racism, but he was throwing around the N-word on the Senate floor.
Oh, yeah. We have some loop stuff. If you ever listen to the show online, you can hear it.
I took it off the loop. You can't hear that one anymore.
Yeah, it was a little risque. So Joe Biden, now all of these people are saying, oh, well, you know, he might have pushed it too far because of that Georgia speech. And even Joe Scarborough, after that speech, was saying, what is he doing here? Like, does he really think he's going to get votes? But to all of those people who are suddenly coming around, thanks for nothing. Because you should have known this from the start. And of course, we have to talk about the Supreme Court, because it's a brutal defeat for President Biden, for President Ice Cream. The vaccine mandate will not hold up for businesses. And the most hilarious part of this, which Taylor showed me yesterday, I got such a kick out of it because everyone knows I love Ron Klain. I love Ron Klain for a number of reasons. Ron Klain is truly, there's a few real Baghdad Bobs. I keep using that expression, but that's the best way I can put it, in this administration. And Ron Klain, I would say, is the head of the tower here. He is in charge of making sure that the Biden administration keeps pumping out this false reality that no one believes. And he does that through Twitter. And what he typically does is he'll take Jennifer Rubin's columns from the Washington Post and he'll retweet them. And, you know, that's like his clapback, because all her posts are, well, there's not a lot Joe Biden can do. He's doing his best, you know, or inflation isn't Joe Biden's fault and there's nothing he can do about it. That's my Jennifer Rubin voice.
I bet you now if you check Ron Klain's Twitter, it'll say retweets are not endorsements.
Yeah. Slight addition from yesterday. So what Ron Klain did a few days ago is he retweeted Stephanie Roll from MSNBC. And he clapped back a little too close to the sun is how I would describe this. He retweeted her calling OSHA trying to enforce this mandate as a workplace precaution. She called it a workaround. And here's the exact tweet. OSHA doing this vax mandate as an emergency workplace safety rule is the ultimate workaround for the federal government to require vaccinations. And Taylor actually brought this up when the tweet first came out, because they were essentially bragging that, oh, none of this is legal, but we figured out a way to force you to get the vaccine. And Ronald Klain, in all of his brilliance, he's one of the best. He's one of the brightest. David Ignatius told me so. He decides this is a good retweet. This is going to make us look really good. Joe's going to be proud of me. Jen will bring in some cookies from her mother-in-law. We're going to have a great weekend. And it turns out when the Supreme Court came back with information about how they came to this final decision to block the vaccine mandate, which, by the way, had a lot of other interesting information because we know who was supporting the vaccine mandate. You'll be shocked to know Sonia Sotomayor, who believes there's 100,000 kids in the hospital sick of COVID on ventilators. She thought we should definitely mandate these vaccines. But when this came out, they actually, this is an interesting piece of it that I want to read to everyone and see if this sounds familiar. It seems, too, that the agency pursued its regulatory initiative only as a legislative workaround. And they put workaround in quotes, leading a lot of people to believe that maybe they were quoting a Mr. Twitter, Ronald Klain. And again, this will be my last Red Steez Stephen Miller tweet of the day, but he saw that Ronald Klain was back at it last night tweeting, so he took his tweet and said, "Hey Ron, did you like the part of the ruling that cited your tweeting? I like that part. I like that part too. That was my favorite part."
My favorite part, yeah.
And
what's the big deal?
This is from the New Republic, which is, you know, another left-wing rag. They wrote, "The real Supreme Court ruling appears to be this." Are you ready for this, Taylor? I'm glad you're sitting down because I don't want this to shock you. "The Biden administration can only try new solutions to new problems if it runs them through the gerrymandered House and a filibuster-friendly Senate first."
Oh, no, we have to abide by the Constitution.
Everyone was like, everyone was responding to this. Yeah, you guys figured it out. Cool. You watch Schoolhouse Rock. Good for you.
Oh, so here's the White House's dunk of the day. You know how they, after they have a bad week, they put out a funny little graphic showing some success, a modicum of success?
Oh, no. Yeah. Where they zoom in really close and they show you like a tiny drop off in gasoline prices.
Thanks to President Biden's economic plans, the U.S. just had the biggest job creation year in history. 2021, 6.5 million jobs created.
Oh, boy. This is the best. What could possibly be better than this? It really is pathetic how they're gaslighting people. It's like, this reminds me of, it's okay, you know, it's okay to be bad at your jobs. I mean, it's not ideal, but it's not illegal. But the least you could do is level with us. You know, sometimes I just want someone to be honest with me. Like, yeah, things aren't. That was one thing about Jimmy Carter. When things were going bad, he was at least like, yeah, things could be better, guys.
But they also included on this graph the amount of jobs that we lost in 2020. So they're kind of dunking on themselves here, showing that these are just jobs that are being brought back from the pandemic.
The White House dunking on themselves. That shocks me. All right. Now, Taylor, I do need to read this story here because this is just too good. Baltimore state attorney indicted on federal charges. I'm going to read directly from the New York Post here because there's a lot of interesting nuggets about this. This is classic Democrat corruption. Baltimore State Attorney Marilyn Mosby. Now, that name may sound familiar to you, and that is because she made national headlines in 2015 when she charged six officers in the police custody death of Freddie Gray, a young black man. None of those six officers were convicted. But that's probably how you know her. But listen to this story. She was indicted on Thursday on federal charges of perjury and filing false mortgage applications related to her purchase of two Florida vacation homes. These Democrats love Florida. That is something I've been noticing lately. You know? And it's like, if you love it so much, you must love the governor, which is even scarier. Mosby is accused of falsely claiming twice to have suffered a work-related financial hardship from COVID-19 in order to request early withdrawals totaling $90,000 from her city employee retirement account. Mosby fraudulently cited a federal CARES Act provision allowing for emergency distribution of up to $100,000 from her retirement plan in the event of a furlough, layoff, quarantine, reduced work hours, lack of childcare, or impact on one's personal business, one's own business caused by COVID-19. Here's what she used the money for. $36,000 in May 2020 and $45,000 on December 31st of that year toward down payments on vacation homes in Florida, in Kissimmee, Florida, and Longboat Key, Florida.
Two Florida vacation homes. Wow.
Two is better than one, Taylor.
One is the Disney home.
The two counts of perjury stem from Mosby's false statements of coronavirus-related financial distress at a time when she was earning a gross annual salary of, care to take a guess? We'll do a little prices right here.
Gross salary of
$200,000. Not bad.
$248,000.
Wow. Mosby is further charged with two counts of making false statements on mortgage applications, seeking a total of more than $900,000 in loans to purchase the two Florida properties. Yeah, you're right, Taylor. It's like, all right, we get that you
like Florida.
You like Florida, but two? I mean, come on now.
Pick a halfway point between Disney
yeah,
and Long Key.
Make up your mind.
I'm not taking any questions due to the fact that I have current civil litigation pending against me as a result of this prosecution.
That was from 2016. That was Mosby. Yeah, she was, you know, she's a Democrat all-star, actually. Do we have the sound of Kamala Harris is a big fan? Kamala Harris has interesting friends, you know? She was a very close friend of Jussie Smollett, very close friend of Mosby. And what do they say about your friends, the company you keep? That could be telling us something. But let's listen to this flashback of Kamala Harris talking about Marilyn Mosby. Cut 8.
When we march and we shout about what we need to do to reform the criminal justice system, we better understand that we got to march and shout with our paychecks and all of the work that we can do to actually make sure that somebody like Marilyn Mosby gets reelected into that office. To not only get convictions, but have convictions. There are a lot of people who are highly critical of her because she heard the voices of the people and said,
the
even
IRS.
If I can't win, I'm going to do the right thing. It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. She cannot fail. And I know she will not fail.
Narrator, she did fail.
In fact, she did fail. And she did shout with her paycheck.
I love how passionate she is. And people are critical of her. People like the IRS are very critical of Marilyn Mosby. Who could have seen that coming? But there's another part of this story that I'll read to you after the break that someone sent to me. You know that old expression, you know, it all comes back to Boston. All these crooks have a connection to Boston. Well, Mosby is not an exception to that rule. Biden inflation is here. We've been talking about that. It's up 7% and your heating bills are already skyrocketing. That's why you need an Eden Pure Mighty Mini Heater more than ever. I'm going to hold this up for the Rumble cam if you're watching us on Rumble. Look how sleek this is. It looks just like the bigger one, Taylor, but it's the perfect size to, you know, bring from room to room.
Yeah, it's the little baby brother of the Gen 40, and it's got the same power. It's got the same heat-throwing capability. It's so easy to use. If you wanted a heater just for your personal little workspace at home or you're doing laundry in the laundry room, whatever it might be, and you need some heat, that is the perfect thing to bring with you.
Yeah, when Taylor says heat throwing power, he means it. This will heat up to 1,000 square feet, and it actually puts out 78% more heat than big box heaters that's seven times its size that take up so much room in your house. With this powerful heater, you can lower the heat in your house at night, but stay toasty warm in your bedroom or wherever you're hanging out. Fight back against Biden's spiraling inflation saga, which we've been told some of the experts have predicted is only going to get worse. Order your Eden Pure Mighty Mini Heater today at EdenPureDeals.com. Use code word GRACE10 and you'll save $10 and get free shipping. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE10. We'll be back with a poll question and more updates on Kamala Harris's BFF, Marilyn Mosby. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. She cannot fail. And I know she will not fail.
It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. Marilyn Mosby cannot fail because she needs that third home in Florida. She's already got two, but she needs a third. Okay? Third time's the charm here. Yeah, if you haven't heard that story, Baltimore State Attorney Marilyn Mosby is indicted on federal charges. Big story. And of course, you can guess where she's from. We'll get to that in a second. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Taylor, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Have you changed any part of your daily routine because of inflation? It doesn't sound like it, Grace.
No, I don't think I have. I mean, I would say everything's more painful now because of inflation, but a lot of things I can't change. Like I have to get gas, so I haven't not gone to the gas station. I just kind of let out a big sigh when I do.
Yeah, I still go to the gas station, obviously, but I downloaded an app where it gives you like pennies on the gallon, a little bit of cash back.
And I will say I've become a little bit tougher about having the temperature down in the house.
Wearing the sweaters and the blankets.
Yeah.
42% say yes, they have changed their habits.
Interesting. Yeah. And it's, you know, as John King told us on CNN, it's a dark time for Joe Biden. We'll get to that in the next 2 hours. And we also have Mark Salinas coming on to talk about the Supreme Court's decision. And very interesting story. There's a state senator from Pennsylvania who's drafting up some legislation to send illegal aliens who are being sent to Pennsylvania. He wants to send them to Delaware, and we're going to have him on at the 2 o'clock. But I was just talking about Marilyn Mosby and how, you know, she fraudulently cited a federal CARES Act provision allowing for emergency distributions of up to $100,000 from her retirement plan. I'm sure this will come to a shock to a lot of people. Kamala Harris being one and the Boston Globe being another, because they were big fans of Marilyn Mosby. They actually ran a piece in 2015 titled "Baltimore Prosecutors' Zest for Justice Began in Boston." She does have roots in Boston. She was born in Massachusetts. And this is bad news for Marilyn Mosby. But Kamala Harris says she cannot fail. So we'll see how that prediction works out. When we get back, we're going to keep playing this sound and keep talking about Joe Biden's worst week ever. Don't go anywhere.